next lecture, which is Inama Bobestu, the Dhamin Makari Mahakar, that has been raised to perfect praiseworthy character. So that will be the next lecture that will be delivered by our Sheikh Nam Shabbat.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته مرة ثانية We give thanks and adoration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank him for sparing us to this time. We intend to discuss this all important hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith that was reported to the authority of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, Hafiz al-Umma. Abu Huraira, the preserver of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira, that companion that was so patient, persevering to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what many other companions could not stay to learn. Abu Huraira, that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet himself testified to his urge to get the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira, that companion that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually prayed for, that Allah make his memory to be strong. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported this hadith, and it was narrated by a number of narrators, a number of scholars mentioned the hadith in their books, the lives of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad and Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in his Khalal al-Mufrad, Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta, Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, Al-Imam ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat al-Kubra. Many of them, they reported the hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu بألفاظ متعددة, with different narrations and different versions, the most popular of which is what was mentioned and introduced, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُثَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I have only been raised, I have only been sent to perfect honorable manners and behaviors. It is also important, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Just like it is also important, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ حَسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. All of them points to one thing, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said he was raised and sent by Allah in order for him to perfect the best of characters. What is the meaning of character? Briefly, one of the best definitions of character is كَفُّ الْأَذَى وَبَذْلُ النَّدَى. كَفُّ الْأَذَى وَبَذْلُ النَّدَى. For you to avoid harming people and try to benefit them. Don't harm them, don't hurt them, don't make injurious statements or acts. وَبَدْلُ النَّدَى. And then you give them what they require. Assist them, help them, provide for them, support them. That is كَفُّ الْأَذَى وَبَدْلُ النَّدَى. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ. I have been raised to perfect. I have been raised to complete. مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. صالح الأخلاق، حسن الأخلاق، beautiful characters. It means that there were existing characters that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. There were characters that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that we are praiseworthy characters. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to perfect them, to complete them. From among those akhlaq, those characters that were prevalent among the Arabs, amongst whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised, is istikbar al-khadid, that they detest lying. An Arab in Jahiliyyah, before the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam was raised, Arabs consider lying to be a humiliation. They consider lying to be anti-human. They consider a liar to be a coward. It goes against the principles of bravery. Arabs don't lie. That is one thing we know of them. And that is a praiseworthy character. When we look at the hadith of Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, that was reported by Imam Bukhari, in his Sahih. When they went to Hiraqla, and Hiraqla was asking Abu Sufyan about the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan was asked to advance to the front. Hiraqla said, the others should stand behind him. And he asked him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Sufyan said, if not for the fact that I don't want anybody to record a lie against my name, I would have lied. Abu Sufyan was an unbeliever then. Those that were behind him amongst the Arabs, they are also unbelievers. And they are fighting against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet they did not conspire to say, let us agree to lie against him. Instead, Abu Sufyan said he wanted to lie. But what he doesn't want is that it is going to stain his record. That they will say, they will go back, even though they are fighting the same cause. But they will go back to Mecca and say, Abu Sufyan lied to me. That is a shame. The Arabs do not want to take that shame. Muslims today, they lie. Wala haraj. It is as though lying has been made permissible.
This is one of those characters the Prophet came to perfect. He made the Arabs not lying. Another character of the Arab is Ash-Shaja'ah. They are brave, they have courage. They are such that they don't fear anyone. Even when they commit a crime, they claim responsibility. If I don't kill someone and he's asked, who killed him? He says, I am the one. He feels the highest you do is for you to kill him. And that's all. قَوْمٌ إِذَا عَبْدَ الشَّرُّ لَا جِلَيْهِ لَهُمْ طَوْرُ إِلَيْهِ بَرَوْكَاتٍ وَأَحْذَاهَا. That's how they are described. A people that if evil should open its teeth to them, they would fly to the evil in congregation. They don't run away. Arabs have that character. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also came as Ashja'u an-Nas, the most courageous of men is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we look back on the concept of not lying, we don't need to mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know the Prophet was called Al-Amin because he never lied. The Prophet never lied. Even before he was made a prophet, he never lied. And so that is why he is called Al-Amin, the trustworthy. When he tells you something, you will find it as he has said it. Then come back to the shuja'ah, the bravery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشجع الناس. Like Anas described him. Anas said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the most courageous of people. كان إذا حمي الوحيد. When the battle becomes hot and fierce, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will run behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is mentioned as part of his akhlaq. That when the battle becomes hot, companions run to the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They hide behind him. As it happened in the battle of Hunayn, where some of the companions ran away, the Prophet took him and a few of his companions. The Prophet jumped down from his right, pulled out his sword and said, "Ana an-Nabi yulaqadim wa ana ibn Abdul Muttalib." Our Prophet is not a lad. I'm the son of Abdul Muttalib. It was when the companions saw that the Prophet stood that they came back. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أشجعنا. He met the Arabs with this quality of shaja'ah. They were brave. We are talking about Jahiliyyah. Before the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was raised as a prophet, the Arabs had the character of generosity. Arabs were generous. They are known to be generous. They are not miser. They don't have that greed. And up till today, it reflects in their character. It is something that is glaring to anyone that has related with them. You know the Arabs are generous. Out of the generosity of the Arabs, when they give you something, you will think they have enough. Many people go for Hajj and Umrah and they see people giving sabeen, donations, inviting people to come and eat, begging them to come and eat with them. And they will think these are rich families. They are not. Some of them are rich quite, okay? Some are not. Some contribute money and in the family level, they donate, contribute money towards Hajj. They save money towards Hajj. So that when pilgrims come, they can attend to them. It's not as if they are rich. Families will be saving money until pilgrims come. Then they give them. The generosity of the heart. Something happened. I graduated the process of being in Medina for Hajj. So I bought something from
a young boy.
She was telling, I think the church had also, she was just having a very small table, very young boy, and she was telling the church had and some technicians. So myself and our group, we came there and we wanted to buy some things from him. He had sent for a drink, that we should buy him a drink. When the drink came, he gave it to one of us. And said they should go and buy more for all of us that came. And I said to him, how much is all these things that you are doing? All these things you are telling does not even, is not up to the drink you are buying for us.
He said, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاهُ لَأَنْصَارِ.
Allah Akbar.
He said, we are the children of Ansar.
Allah, I will never forget that message. It sank deep into my head.
Then we are the children of the Ansar.
And I got the message clearly. The message was clear in sense. So the Arabs were known for their generosity and character. And that's why when a person wants to give an example of generosity, they say, who are كريم كحاتم الثاني is as generous as حاتم الثاني, the father of حاتم بن حاتم. His father حاتم الثاني was known for his generosity. It is from his generosity that he would take a slave of his every night. حاتم الثاني would take a slave and go to the top of the mountain. And he will tell the slave, outfit, فَلَيْلُ لَيْلُ الْقَرْضُ. Oh my slave, light the fire. Light the fire. You know when the fire is kindled in the, at night, on a mountain, anybody around that area will tell you. He wants to draw the attention of wayfarers. Say, outfit. فَإِنَّ اللَّيْلَ لَيْلٌ قَرْضٌ. The night is very cold. وَالْرِيحُ رِيحٌ سِرٌ. And the wind is blowing. عَسَى يَرَى نَارَكَ مَنْ يَمُرُ. It is possible when you kindle the fire, a passerby will sight your fire. But in the boyfriend, if you are able to attract a guest to come to us, you become free. You gain your freedom. Just get one guest that will come to us and will honor him, and you get your freedom. So the work the slave will be doing is, Ya Allah, bring a guest. He would light the fire so that people, because that is what his freedom determines, that is what his freedom depends on. Hatim al-Thani, he was known for his generosity. Al-Karam, they give even before asking. It is said that Hatim al-Thani one day had a guest. This guest wanted to test the generosity of Hatim al-Thani. Hatim al-Thani had a horse. This horse was very, very lovely and beloved to Hatim al-Thani. When the guest came, Hatim al-Thani did not know what he would use to honor the guest. He didn't have, the camels have gone, really. Hatim al-Thani looked around. A guest has come, and we don't have what to prepare for him. Hatim al-Thani said, slaughter that horse. They slaughtered the horse and prepared it, and gave it to the man. The man actually came to test Hatim al-Thani, but he wants to say, Hatim, please, give me that your horse. I want you to dash me the horse. He sat down, ate the meat, after eating, Hatim al-Thani said, what brought you? He said, please, I want you to give me that your horse. Hakim quote bowed down and cried. So why are you crying? Is it because I just asked you for the horse? No, you just finished eating the horse. If you just finished eating the horse, you would have asked before you prepared the meal for you. The man thought it would be difficult for Hakim to give him the horse. Hakim thought it slaughtered the horse before the request came. So Arabs were known for their generosity. Currently, the Prophet came to perfect this. He adopted them and built some more. The Prophet, as a way of perfecting good character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him to be a practical implementation of the Quran. And that's why when Umna Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, "Khuluquhu al-Quran." The Prophet's character is al-Quran. And that is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. الله said, and Allah gave you the Quran and the wisdom, الحكمة, the Sunnah. وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم. And he taught you what you didn't know. وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. The favor of Allah upon you is great. Allah gave the Quran that Yahdi Lillati Hiya Aqwam, the Quran that is an encyclopedia of perfect morals. That is what Allah embedded in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why Allah even said to him that وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are upon a very great moral behavior in terms of standards. And it is because of that that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has all of these characters that are mentioned in the Quran, and he exemplifies this character. That Allah made him to be our role model. And he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. He is an embodiment of example. He is a model. Because what is a لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That you read to perfect, to complete good character. Every character we see in the Quran is in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when Allah ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, it is an absolute. The Prophet alayhi wasallam is an absolute, an ideal model. An ideal model. And whatever comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is considered to be the test of practice. No human can be better than the Prophet's character. No human can have a character that is better than that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter how highly claimed that person is, whether a companion, a tabi'in, or one of the Salaf al-Salih, their character will always be judged and guided by the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet does something sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we find somebody doing contrary, that person's action does not restrict the applicability of the Prophet's action. The Prophet's actions and character remain supreme to everybody's character. Part of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah mentioned in the Quran is that of Al-Afu, pardoning people and overlooking their shortcomings. Allah can say Al-Afu wa amur bil urfi wa a'rid anil jahilin. Khudh Al-Afu, hold on to the principles of forgiveness. Pardon people, overlook their shortcomings. Wa'mur bil 'urf, enjoin kindness. Wa'arid 'anil jahilin, when people behave ignorantly and they behave in ways that are not good, turn away from them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this. Ya'afu wa yasfahu. Even when people want to harm him, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam overlooks. The person came to kill him and took his word. Said, Ya Muhammad, who will save you from me today? He said, Allah. And the sword fell from the man's hand. And the Prophet took the sword. I said, now who will save you from me? Ya Rasulullah, we know you are beside your Kubanus. I know you will forgive. And the Prophet forgave him. Ya Afu wa Yasfahu. He forgives. This is somebody who wants to harm you. Part of it is وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله قال وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Is not equal to good. They are distinct, they are different. If a person does wrong, he knows he has done wrong. When he does good, he knows he has done good. They are clear. Allah can see the fact. Bin lati hiya ahsan. If a person does evil to you, pay back with which? That which is good, which is better. He said, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ. You will find a person who has staunch enmity with you. كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will now turn out to be like a very close friend of yours. But not everybody will be able to do that. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Nobody will be taught this except those who are patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍّ عَظِيمٍ. Nobody is taught except those who have great portions before Allah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does not pay evil with evil. The Prophet pays those who do evil to him with good. He wants guidance for them. One of the qualities, the characters of the Prophet that Allah mentions in the Quran is وَإِنْ أَعْقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. If you want to make any revenge, let it be equal. But when you are patient and you go to revenge, it is better for you. Allah said, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ. Call to the part of your Lord with hikmah, with wisdom, وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, a good preaching. He said, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Speak the best of words to people. When you want to talk to people, talk to them with respect. Talk to them in ways that will make them happy. He said, وَقْفِرْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَقْبُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Part of the manners of how to walk. Part of the manners on how to talk. وَقْفِرْ فِي مَشْيِكَ. Walk moderately. Walk good means something. When you talk to people, don't raise your voice. Don't talk at the top of your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ بَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. The word of voices is that of the donkey when it shouts. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ صَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Do not turn your cheeks to people when they talk to you. Somebody is talking to you and they are looking elsewhere. As a sign of arrogance. The Prophet doesn't do that. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks to a person, he says it to him. To give him attention. The Prophet doesn't turn elsewhere when a person is talking to him from a direction. The Prophet says it.
Allah said, "A'udhu bil-'afwi, innal 'ahda kana mas'ula," fulfill promises. Because you are going to be asked about those promises.
If we have mentioned the verses of akhlaq in the Quran, there are so much. In fact, the whole of the Quran directs towards good characters and morals. So why Umm Aisha said, "Khuluquhu al-Quran," read the Quran and see some of these characters. But I want to bring out facts. I want to talk about five out of the characters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of his characters are worthy of emulation. All of his characters. But I want us to ponder about these five to make us better Muslims, to make our relationships better, to make us live a good life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the following characters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted him with, and we must also try to imbibe them. One is inshirah al-sadr. Inshirah al-sadr. You should have a large heart. You should have a heart that is patient. Your heart should not be tight. Your heart should be able to accommodate. It is a favor of Allah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah wants good for a person, He makes his heart to be spacious. His heart will be expanded. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide a person, Allah expands, He creates space in his heart for Islam. Islam will be in the heart. Islam will be silent in the heart. That Islam requires space. The availability of the space in the heart is how much of Islam will reside in the heart. That is when you need Allah and يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام. ومن يريد أن يدله يجعل صدره ضيقا كأنه ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد للسماء. However Allah wants to guide his way, He makes his heart to be tight. There will be no space. So Islam will only be either little or nowhere to stay. In Shirah al-Sadr, the heart should be opened. It should have that understanding that it can accommodate differences in it. The heart should be wide enough. And that is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uzur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Nabi Allah Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to Fir'aun, this character of making your heart to be large is required by every Muslim. But those who call to Allah need it most. To love the ilm. Ulama, dua, they need this character most. Inshirah al-sadr. So that you can relate with your peers and colleagues, ulama al-ilm, wa baqiyat al-ulama. You relate with them with a free mind, a mind that is accommodating. When Allah sent Nabi Allah Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to Fir'aun, اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Fir'aun. Fir'aun has transgressed his limit. That crossed the line. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam knew he was going to confront an enemy of Allah. He said, Rabbi shirahni sadri. The first thing he asked Allah is in shirah al-sadr. That his heart should be spacious. Because he's going to confront an enemy that is a staunch enemy. an enemy that has subjected his people to persecution and torture, an enemy that has killed and slaughtered numerous children. Musa was going to confront him. He required Allah to expand his heart, so that when you are going to talk to the person you attend to, what you want for him is guidance and not destruction. This Ishra al-Sadr. If you have Ishra al-Sadr, when the heart is wide and patient, a person will be harming you and you will be wanting guidance for him. He will be antagonizing you and you will be wanting Allah to guide him. And that is why also, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the greatest of messengers and he will send him to the world, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ, he was going to be given that assignment to relate with the whole world. One of the first things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched him with was أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. It was the memory of Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His chest was literally split open and washed with zamzam. Ishrah al-Sadr. Allah made the Prophet to remember that favor. Allah nashrah laka sadrak. Have we not made your heart to be expanded? إشراف الصدر يا إخواننا من الأخلاق المعدلة. It is one of the best characters. It makes you to live in peace with people. You hear something that ordinarily somebody would turn into a quarrel and you place it in a proper meaning and you say, well, that's what he meant. Maybe he meant this. إشراف الصدر. And as I said, those who require it, everybody requires it. In our houses, we require it. Our wives, they need it. Men need it. Neighbors need it. Colleagues need it. We all need it in our own service. But those whom it will benefit most are Ahlul Ilm, Tullaban wa Ulama. Let us have that Ishraq al-Sadr. Let our hearts be hard, be wide and open. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at the way he related with his companions. If not a person who has a wide heart, who would you relate with the companions the way the Prophet did? Ishraq. Because the heart is patient. Abu Huraira came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, Ya Rasulallah, the people of Dawud, his people, is Abu Huraira and Tawfi. He said, my people have rejected faith, Ya Allah, Ya Rasulallah. Pray to Allah to cause them. Abu Huraira said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, turned to the Kaaba and raised his hand. Abu Huraira said, when I saw the Prophet sit in the Kaaba and raise his hand, I said, yes, those are finished. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma ahdi dawsan wa ahdi. Oh Allah, guide those and bring them to the fold of Islam. He wanted guidance for them. Ishraq al-Sadr. Somebody might ask, how do we get Ishraq al-Sadr? One of the ways of getting Ishraq al-Sadr is to pray to Allah. I say, Rabb ishrah li sadri, the way Musa asked. Musa either did not claim it. He said to Allah, he said, Rabb ishrah li sadri, because it is Allah that gives. But one thing that assists one is al-ilm, al-ilm al-nafi', beneficial knowledge. When the knowledge of a person is the knowledge of Allah and His Messenger, his heart becomes patient. The heart becomes wide. Masail that are contradictory will stay in his heart and there will be no problem. He will see a mukhalif and he will treat him with respect because of his shirah al-Sadr. Somebody does not correct him and he feels bad, that why should he be correcting me? He takes it because his pardon is wide. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reach us with Tishra al Qadr. Prayer is one of the keys to getting good character. Even when we have said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has Al-Qur'an as his uluq, the Prophet will still pray. When he is praying at night, he says, Allahumma ahdini li ahsani al-akhlaq. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. Oh Allah, guide me towards implementing or working with the best of character. Nobody guides to that except you. وَاصْرِفْ عَنِّي سَيِّئَهَا يَا اللَّهُ turn away bad character from me. لَا يَصْرِفْهَا عَنِّي إِلَّا أَنْتَ nobody would make bad character not to be my portion except you. So we will pray and we will seek for knowledge. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya said, when knowledge is beneficial in the heart, it provides space in the heart, and Islam will have more space in the heart. The second character, Rahmatan bil-Ibad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has that character of mercy. He was merciful. He was a mercy. Allah wa ma'alaka illa rahmatan lil-alameen. We are not sent to Ya Rasulullah except as a mercy to the world, not to mankind alone, not to the jinns alone, to animals, to the plants, to all the creatures of Allah. The Prophet is a man. Rahmah. And that is why we could see how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam manifests Rahmah. Rahmah is the skin of the heart. Rahmah is in the heart. But it manifests in one's action. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling his son or the child of one of his daughters that was about to die, she sent for the Prophet that, you know, my son is about to die. The Prophet said, go and tell her to be patient. When he came back, he said, go and tell the Prophet he should come. This boy is about to die. The Prophet took it on his child. The Prophet took the child. Gave the child in his hands. As the boy was breathing his last breath, the Prophet shed tears. The Prophet was weeping. One of the companions, the name of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, said, Ya Rasulullah, who was this? He said, Rahmah. This is Rahmah. This tears is Rahmah. Today we live in a time where Rahmah is minimal. We see ourselves suffering and we rejoice and laugh. We see people in pain and we don't feel anything within us that, it is a human being that is going through this. We are so engaged today. We have a generation of recorders. When people are going through pain, they derive pleasure in video, in covering. They want to post it, that this is what happened. It's happening live and direct. The Rahmah is not there anymore. The Prophet will teach his children, he will take them. One of the companions was saying, also like, you take these children. I have about 10, I have never kissed any one of them. Prophet said, oh, lady, our amulet will let her. In our an nada Allah min qalbi taram, what can I do if you don't have Rahmah in your heart? The Prophet relates with his companions with Rahmah. Husbands must relate with their wives with Rahmah. Husbands must relate with their wives with Rahmah. They should relate with their children with risk, with lenience, be mild with them. Wives too should be gentle with their husbands. Show mercy to your husband. Appreciate them. He goes out in the morning and comes back in the evening. You don't know the amount of pressure he has brought back home. Show him mercy. Don't say after all he's strong now. if he breaks down, you know he's not strong. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. One of the scenarios that will prove the Prophet's mercy is the episode between the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and one of the greatest enemies of Islam, Abdullah ibn Ubayy bin Salul, the head of the Munafiqun. This is a man that hurt the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so much. This is a man that plotted against Islam so much. This is a man that said, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا. Don't spend on these people that are around the Prophet until they leave him. لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل. Is this statement of Abdullah ibn Ubayy bin Salul. So when we go back to Medina, those who have honor will eject those who are non-entities, those who are humiliated. He was saying that concerning the Prophet of Allah. Abdullah ibn Ubayy bin Salul is the one that will go out to the battlefield. And before they get to the battlefield, you will say, you just go and kill all of us, you will go back home. Demoralize the army. He did so many things, so many evils. When Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul died, it would have been a time for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to celebrate and jubilate. The way many of our brothers celebrate today when Muslims die, unfortunately. A Muslim dies, Muslims come out to celebrate. They say, Alhamdulillah, mustarahum minhu. When you look at that person that is dead, this is the person that has made a lot of contributions to Islam. This is the person that has contributed so much to the progress of Islam. Why are Muslims celebrating his death? Where is the Rahmah? Where is the Rahmah? He has shortcomings, yes, so what? Who doesn't have shortcomings? When Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul died, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he attended the funeral of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. In fact, the son of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul came to request for the Prophet's cloth that he wants to use it to shroud his father, and the Prophet gave it to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet gave it to him as a way of appreciating what Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul did for Abbas on the day of Badr. When they captured Abbas in the Battle of Badr, Abbas had no clue. The uncle of the Prophet was martyred. He was hit. So the cloth that tied him was the cloth of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. So when the son came, the Prophet gave it, the Prophet gave him. After all, he had assisted by him. The Prophet gave him the cloth. It was the Prophet's cloth they used in shrouding Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to pray. Salah. He wanted to pray janaza on Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. Will he be cursing Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul when he prays janaza for him? What does he want to ask for? Ya Allah forgive him. Ya Allah have mercy on him. Allah overlook his shortcomings. Allah admit him to paradise. The Prophet stood to pray janaza. Sayyidina Umar could not withstand it. Ya Rasulullah. Innahu Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. The person you want to pray on is Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul. Alladhi fa'ala kada wa kada wa qala kada wa kada. The Abdullah that did this. He did that. He did that. He said this. He said that. Sayyidina Umar stood in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, you want to pray on Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul? The Prophet said, Umar, I will pray on him. Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, is it not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum in tastaghfir lahum sab'eena maratan fala yakfir Allah lahum? That ask for forgiveness for them. Whether you ask for forgiveness or you don't ask for forgiveness. In fact, if you ask for forgiveness 70 times for them, Allah will not forgive them. And you still want to pray on him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said to Umar, Ya Umar, if I know that if I ask for the forgiveness for him more than 70 times, Allah will forgive him or ask for him. If I know that exceeding 70 times will make Allah to forgive him, I will exceed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed on the dead body of Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, despite all the atrocities he committed against Islam and the Prophet. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Have mercy on people. One of the greatest mercies you can have is you wish that Allah forgives them. The Prophet was stoned. He was ejected. He said, Allahumma ahdi qawmi fa'innahum la ya'lamun. Allah dhaim ajibu. What they have done is what they don't know. Rahmah. Having mercy. Wanting good for people. I had one day Sheikh Abdul Razak bin Abdul Muhsin Abbas, Hafizahullah wa ta'ala. He mentioned something in one of his lectures. He said one day he was praying. He was in Salah. And somebody came to pass in front of him. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to stop the fasting. From fasting. So he tried to do that, but the person aggressively hit his hand and passed. And he was in Salah. Sheikh said, I did to do and I was praying for that man that Allah should forgive him. In my sujood, I was praying that, Ya Allah, forgive this man. Forgive me. That is sifatul rahmah. Khuluqul rahmah. It is not when somebody does something to you, you begin to raise courtesy on them. That, you know, I just finished reciting the Quran. If I fire you to catch you, instead of firing him, why don't you pray for me? Let me pray again with him. That is the answer of rahmah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The Prophet wants hidayah for people. Another character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thought, is al-leen. Al-leen. Leen al-jan. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was mild with his companions. He related with them with ease, with love, gently, not harshly. The Prophet was not stern, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understood the fact that لا يقول الرزق في شيء إلا ذانه ولا ينزع الرزق من شيء إلا شانه. He said it. He said, لا يقول الرزق في شيء إلا ذانه. Whenever you get things gradually and gently, with risk and risk, it will adorn it. Being gentle and mild adorns a person. But when it is taken away, it deforms it. It disfigures it. Even in our houses, if we relate with our families, we relate with our neighbors, with risk, wallah, we will become worthy of emulation. Allah gives us victory over a lot of problems. We solve a lot of problems. we get victory with a risk. What we don't get with tenderness and hardness. Be mindful of the person as he will follow you. But when you are harsh on him, he will not follow you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mild. The Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gentle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was soft to his companions. And that is why Allah says, Allah mentions in the Quran, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ مِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَرْضًا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَمْ قَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا أَمَنْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ الله كتب البروفيت Allah is the one that made him to have that character of lean, of being gentle, of being mild, of being soft. Allah now said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ It is out of the mercy of Allah. It is out of a mercy from Allah. Lean to love that we are gentle with the companion. We are mild with them. We are soft. The companions, we are not afraid of you. You will not stand on them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضْلًا غَلِيظًا قَلْبًا Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you have been harsh, stand on them, لَمْ فَضْلُوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They would have run away from you. They would be stuck. And the Ahlul Ilm said this, is a very big message to those who are not up to the Prophet of Allah. You are an imam, you are a husband, you are a leader, you are a boss, you are whatever. Be mild with people. Allah told the Prophet of Allah. That's how the Lord the companions had for him. The companions loved the Prophet of Allah in a way that nobody was ever known. They would give their lives, they gave their lives for the Prophet of Allah. Look at Sa'd ibn Qays ibn Shammas. Look at Sa'd ibn Qays ibn Shammas. He came one day to the Prophet of Allah with his face red, showing he was bothered. When the Prophet of Allah saw him, he said, what is wrong with you? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, no problem at all. But I was just sitting at home and I remember something. That now in this world, we are able to see you. When we want to see you, we come to you and we see you. What if we enter paradise? Allah grants us paradise. We enter paradise. We might not be in the same level with you. I just remember that we might not have access to you. We will not be able to see you whenever we want to see you. And Allah SWT reveals that وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا So just obey Allah and His Messenger and you do the Prophet of Allah. Companions, you are happy. Just like they are happy when that Bedouin came and asked the Prophet of Allah عليه وسلم, Ya Rasulullah, said, O the Messenger of Allah, a man wants to be with the people but he cannot do their kind of works. A man wants to be in the company of the people but he knows within himself that he cannot do what they have done. I want to watch him do this. This is shortcut to... He's looking for shortcut. Because of course you should be thinking of doing what those people have done. Just like the Quran said, أَمْ حَسِبُكُمْ أَنْ تَرْكُمْ بِالْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَتَكْسُمُ الْبَعْثَ وَالضَّرَاءُ وَالْمُزِينُ حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ وَتَنَصُرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّمَا تَرَوْا الْآيَةَ الْقَرِيبِ You think you will enter paradise when you are not gone through what those who came before you went through? This Bedouin doesn't want to go through that process. Ya Rasulullah, a man wants to be with a people. but you cannot do their kind of work. What you mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Malku ta'adhan ahabba. A man will give you those who love. It is sufficient for you to love them. When you love them, you will be with them. Ali bin Malik said, the companions of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that day they are so happy. In a way that they have never been happy, other than the day they existed. That was their happiest day. That even when we cannot do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done, but our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can make us be with him, she came. They loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the woman that came when the companions came back from the Battle of Badr. This woman has her husband, Matthias, in the battle. She has her son, Matthias, in the same battle. She has a brother of hers, Matthias, in the same battle. When the people came back, and she asked of her relatives, she said, this person is dead, this person is dead, your husband is also dead. She said, stay for her, Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How is the Messenger of Allah? She said, they said she went and saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she saw him, she said, كُلُّ مُصِيبَةٍ بَعْدَكَ جَلَلٍ Whatever affliction befalls me, so long as it does not touch you, it is minor. These are the people who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet that وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظًا قَلْبِي the problem in Hawaii. These companions that love you so much, if you had been stern, if you had been harsh with them, they will not be able to endure you, they will run away from you. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ So overlook their shortcomings. Don't be too hard on people when they make mistakes. People will make mistakes, people will make errors, people will offend you. Don't be too hard. Leave with Jan, be mild. And that's what we see in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even for those who commit some crimes that require capital punishment, we see the way the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relates to them. Even when they have committed a crime. Like the woman that came and said, Ya Rasulullah, she did zina and now she's pregnant. Let the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be established on her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, having established it, she was not mentally disabled, she was not mad, she was blind, she knows what she's saying. The Prophet told her guardian, he said, take her back home. Let her deliver first. When she delivers, let her come back. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهَا Be nice to her. Be nice to her. Even when she has committed that crime, she has repented. The Prophet said, be nice to her. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was lazy, was mild with his companion. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should also imbibe this character. We will have peace amongst us. A lot of problems are avoidable if only we relate with ourselves with mildness. The first character. Al-Udhul. Al-Udhul. Giving excuses. That you want to know why a person has done something before you judge him. Why have you done this? Give opportunity for people to explain themselves. It is one of the spectacular characters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't say, I know him, he will do it. He will do it. I have always been suspecting him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam will give excuse. Even when it is a sidiyachi. An example is the case of Hafiz ibn Abi Balta. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled the case of Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a should be studied. Hafiz was one of those companions who wrote a letter. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam wanted to advance to Mecca. So Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a decided to communicate with the people of Mecca, informing them of the Prophet's plan to come to Mecca. Although it was not a very bad message, because what he was telling the people of Mecca is that Prophet Muhammad is coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is nothing you can do to stop him, because Allah ta'ala will give you victory. That is the composition of the letter. But it was wrong because it is exposing the secret of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the unbeliever. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got a message from Allah that Hafiz had written a message. The Prophet called Ali and some other companions, I think Zubayr, called them. He said, go to so-so place, you will find a woman there. She has a letter that was written that Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a. I want you to bring the letter to me. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ali goes there. He met the woman. He said, woman, where is the letter that was given to you to the people of Mecca? I was not given any letter. Sayyidina Ali said, it is either you produce the letter or we are going to strip you to the house. That is what I said. The Prophet will not give false information. That is Iman. That is the way the companions relate to the Prophet with information. He knows that there is no way the letter will not be in hand. If we have to, we will strip you of your clothes and bring that letter out. Quickly she took her hand in her coat. There she tied him and brought the letter out and gave to them. Then they brought the letter to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet opened the letter. He read it. And so the message Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a wrote to the people of Mecca. It would have been an evidence enough to crucify Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a. Because he said, what else? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Hafiz, ma hada? Ya Hafiz, what is this? Do you have anything to say? Even at this situation, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, what's your excuse? So we don't just judge people for what they have done, without knowing why they have done what they did. Else you will be judging people wrongly. Hafiz ibn Abi Balta'a said, Ya Rasulallah, I didn't do this out of disbelief. And I don't doubt Islam and I don't doubt the Prophet. But there is something that I wanted to protect. Most of your companions, they have relatives in Mecca that are protecting their families and children. I happen to be a stranger amongst them. And I lived among them and left my family there and migrated to Medina. I fear that they might be harming my family. And that is why I wanted to get something that will make them feel, ah, he has done us a favor. Let us protect his family. I didn't do it out of Korea, I didn't do it out of Kumar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sadaqa. He has said the truth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was not rebuked. Umar radiallahu anhu that was there. Umar said, Ya Rasulallah, da'ani aslimu unuqaha bil munafiq. Ya Rasulallah, let me chop off the head of his munafiq. Let me remove his head. In the cradle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is a badari. Hafiz is a badari. The Prophet had accepted his excuse. before saying he is a Badari. He fought in the Battle of Badr. And Allah has forgiven the people who fought in the Battle of Badr.
The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
gives excuse. He can do things, and the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, he gives them the opportunity to prove themselves without judgment. The fifth thing, the fifth character, as they see, it makes him feel peace. ما قدر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أمرينه إلا اختار أكثرهما. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is not given the choice between two things except that he chooses the one that is simplest. Simplicity is part of the religion of Islam. Simplicity is part of the teachings of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. That makes things easy. In fact, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will say, يَسْتِرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِرُوا. تعلموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا. Teach people. Nothing is easy for them. Don't make it difficult for them. Nothing is easy for people is part of knowledge. Because making things difficult for people is simple. Everybody can do it. A sheep that you see will have full of eyes. In this time, you can say, how about this one being haram? How about it haram? How about it haram? How about it haram? Everybody can make things difficult for you. They say, okay, it's not safe for you to do it. So the best thing for you to avoid it. When you take this shidda, that is called ikhtiyar, it makes things difficult for you. And the scholars will say, al-yusru. When we are talking about ease and simplicity, it is rukhsatul aali. It is that lenience that a knowledgeable person will give to people. It is for a knowledgeable person to give you a reason out of a problem. It is not to compound your problem for you. It is not to make things more difficult for you. It is not to make life miserable for you. No, he will give you a way out where there is an opening in the Sharia. That is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. That they see. You don't say because people have done wrong, then your fatwa will be harsh on them. No. You don't say because people are, they abuse privileges, then you'll be giving them some thought, fatwa that are not implemented. No. You give them useful, you give them tafsir. When the man that committed a sin in the month of Ramadan, he met with his wife. He came to the Prophet and complained, Ya Rasulullah, you halak, come in, and destroy it. The Prophet said, Ma ahlaka. Ya Rasulullah, waqa'tu ala imra'ati fi nahari Ramadan. He met his wife during the day in Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have a slave you treat? That's the rule. Ya Rasulullah, I don't have a slave. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can you fast for 60 days? Ya Rasulullah, I can't. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, can you feed 60 people? They said, ah, give me a need, somebody that will feed me. They now brought this. And the Prophet said, where is that man? He said, I am here. He said, take this day. Go and feed 60 people. He said, I was in the night. On those that are poorer than myself or who? And before it, there is nobody that is as poor as myself in Syria and Virginia. The Prophet laughed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so go and feed your family with it. They feel. When Safwan bin Asfal, is Safwan bin Asfal or Safwan bin Mu'adfal? No? Safwan bin Mu'adfal. Safwan bin Mu'adfal, I think. He also had a similar thing. He said, as reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Usually because he has a very strong urge. So Fawn said he had a very strong urge. So what he does is, he does not go close to his wife. And his wife will be fully dressed in the house because of his urge. And that is how he passed. That day, he was in the house, then a part of the wife mistakenly appeared to him. That was how he attacked during the day of Ramadan. Then when he finished, he regretted his action and went to the Prophet of Allah. Rasulullah, this is what I have done. Prophet said, you pray and say, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have sleep. Prophet said, in that case, you fast for 50 days. Ya Rasulullah. The one we are fasting 30 days, this is what happened. The one that happened to me now is because of fasting. How will I be able to fast? He too, the Prophet got something and gave it. Say, go and feed people. Ya Rasulullah, our house, we need this one too. We need it. The Prophet said, go and feed your family. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Sayyid Yusuf. It is not about castigating people because they have done some errors. No, it is about understanding if a person has shown remorse for what he has done, then the past is gone. We don't blame a person for his past after he has repented. We don't. Part of the tafsir of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to make the religion easy. And that is how we have seen the scholars. A tafsir is part of them. They will make things easy for people. Not making it unnecessarily simple that everything becomes halal. No. But whenever a window is there, they will give you the window. But you can use this window. They don't make things difficult. One of our teachers, he told us the story of a teacher of theirs in Sudan. That a person came to him and asked, similar to the question somebody asked the other time concerning fasting, that he was not fasting. This one, he was not praying. So he came to ask that, now that he has realized that he was supposed to be praying, he wants to know what he's supposed to do. So the teacher told him, he said, well, the scholars' opinions are divided. So I will tell you which one. It is either you accept that when you are not praying, you are a target. Then now that you have now realized you are going to be praying, you are a Muslim, then whatever you didn't pray before has passed. Just continue your salah and return to Allah. The other is, if you know you are a Muslim and you are not a target, then you have to pray all the salah that you missed. Not 5 years, 10 years that you didn't pray. You pray it now. Which one would you choose? How can I call myself a kafir? I'm a Muslim, of course. I'm a Muslim. Said to you, go and pray the salah of 10 years that you didn't pray. Man, look. 10 years. Yes, 10 years. He went to started. And in the bottom of normal, you pray at least 5 per day. That is when you go out of negligence. For those prayers you miss, you have to pray 5 of them per day, at least. Meaning if you pray subuhi, you now pray 5 additional subuhi. Or you pray 10, then you count that, okay, I pray for 10 days now subuhi. You pray zuhur, you pray 10 additional subuhi. You pray after, you pray 10 additional. The man went, he did it for like 1 week. Then he came back, he said, Atarakum Allah, I agree with the first opinion. So I will make the shahada now and start afresh. He said he gave the way out. Sometimes when people come with fatwa and they ask him, he will feel if he gives them the, because he's a maliki to the core, he will feel if he gives them the fatwa of the madhab of Al-Imam Malik, they would hardly be able to execute it. So you will send them, you will say, go and ask Sheikh Fulan, who is maybe a Hanbali or a Shafi'i. He knows you will get some standing there. So push him to them, so that they go to their tafsir. One of our teachers, the Rabbi Allah Tuzari, from goodness, Dr. Bashir Ali Umar, he was asked a question one day on contemporary dealing, financial dealing. And he said, one of the ways by which we are going to prefer this other opinion is because it will bring ease to the people. That when we say, okay, this thing is allowed, it will ease the sufferings of the people. Unlike when we say it is haram, a lot of people will suffer. He said, one of the fundamentals of the Sharia is al-taysir. So it is considered from one of the murajjihat that when something makes things easy, it is most likely to be part of the Sharia than when it makes things difficult. Because you need Allah to become a yusra, when you need to become a yusra. Toha, ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'an li-tashqa. The Quran was not revealed to you for you to suffer. No, it is to provide ease for you. So irrespective of how a person has found himself in a problem, we should give him tayseer. We should make things easy for him. This is even when he has committed a wrongdoing. Okay, he is like somebody who makes Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. As mentioned by Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya, I'm not mistaken. He said, Ya Imam, I vowed. He said he vowed. He made a nerve that he was going to meet his wife during the day in Ramadan. My parents, if somebody comes to tell you this, okay, sort yourself out. Since you did not know that your sense is not going to guide you that this is wrong, how would you vow that you are going to meet your wife during the day in Ramadan? So why should you come and bother me? But scholars would not do that because their own responsibility is to pave way out for people. They don't punish people for their foolishness. No, they take them out of their predicament. That is their wazifa, that is their duty. So whenever Ahmad ibn Hanbal was asked, he said, well, you shouldn't have done that. But now what you will do is travel with your wife. When you travel, you are going to really come back. Then you continue fasting. Yes. Because if you travel, it's allowed for you to get your money. So that is the only embarrassment. When you embark on the journey, when you travel, if you finish your traveling, come back home. That is the way out. So irrespective of person's foolishness, we give him tafsir. He makes things easy for him. And this tafsir is in all aspects of our lives. In our family, in our work. Let's not always be the type that we make things difficult for people. Look at what it was, أَلِّمُوا وَيَسْرُوا وَلَا تُعَسْرُوا. How many teachers work with this today? Whether in conventional, whether in Islamia, أَلِّمُوا وَعَسْرُوا وَعَسْرُوا is what people do now. Make things difficult. Teach and make things difficult. A lecturer will come to the class, or a teacher will come to the class, will give simple solutions, simple assignments, and solve very simple questions on the board, and that's it. Then when he comes to give you exam, you'll be wondering that, is this the course that this man is? Is this the same course that we actually did? This is not Islam. Where education is valued, where knowledge, transmission of knowledge is valued, they have objectives. They have many objectives. And the moment you meet up with those objectives, they don't bother whether it is the same question you are answering or a similar question. It is only here or in this part of the world that somebody comes to teach you simple processes and he asks you in exams complex processes. It is only here. It is about yakin. If you know you want to teach them, they need to know complex problems, then teach them the complex problems. Then you ask them complex problems because you have taught them. But unfortunately, our educational system has become something else. Questions are asked in such a way that people will be lost. When a lecturer or teacher sets questions, and the students are holding their Bible hand, then he's happy. His question is technical. That's my question. It is wrong. And we feel this is quality education. No, that's not quality education. We need to change this mentality. Yes, at least here. We make things easy for people. So that we don't make things easy. In all of our lives, we need to make things easy for people. I don't know if the sitting is a signal. Is it a signal? Now there are two types of akhlaq. Al-akhlaq al-jibilliyya al-qadiriyya. And al-akhlaq al-mustashara. Characters are either in you. Allah creates us with those characters. There are characters you come with. They are in, that is how Allah has created us. They might be positive, they might be negative. They are jibilliyya al-qadiriyya. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقَكُمْ كَمَا قَسَمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ. Allah has shared amongst you your character the way He has distributed your risk. This person is tall, this person is hard, this person is mild, this person is... We all have these traits and characters. But then there are الْأَخْلَاقُ الْمُكْتَسَبَةُ. They can be learned. They can be unlearned and relearned. You can remove those characters because when Allah created us, He created us with so many characters. Some of them are not good. Some of them are praiseworthy. Some of them are blameworthy. Naturally, a man comes as Zalumun Jahur. Naturally, a man comes greedy. Naturally, a man comes Ajula. He's always in a haste. These are induced characters. But the Sharia wants us to unlearn those characters and develop better ones. So that we learn how to be patient, we learn how to share, we learn how to endure, we learn how to focus, we learn how to be hardworking. Naturally, a man wants to just be lazy, to relax. These are characters. So we need to make an iktisab. Just like he said, Al-ilmu bit-ta'allumi. Wal-ilmu bit-ta'allumi. Knowledge is gotten by learning. Al-hil, patience, perseverance, endurance is also by learning it. You train yourself to endure. And one of those trainings is what we are doing in Ramadan, that you train to endure. Now, all of these characters, we train ourselves. If you know you have the habit of holding, you don't want to give, you have to train yourself to begin to give. Force yourself to give, that I want to learn how to share with others. Takalluf, you force yourself to give. When you force yourself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you to have that character. وَلَئِن تَصَبَّرْتُمْ يُصَبِّرْكُمُ اللَّهُ. When you force yourself to be patient, force it. It is not easy, but you make takalluf to be patient, and Allah will now make you to become patient. When you force yourself to become generous, generosity becomes part of your habit. When you force yourself to be saying the truth, truthfulness becomes part of your habit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repair our character. Allahumma ahdina li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. Wasrif anna sayyi'aha, la yusrif anna sayyi'aha illa anta. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمه الله وبركاته. ايضا الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول على الشيخ افضل من ذات الدين في المدينة. ان شاء الله then before we are going for Salat, then after Salat, we are spending here by 2:30 for the last lecture, inshallah. So please, if you have any questions, you can answer some of these questions.